Good day and welcome to Sarah and T, the Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge in Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals, both domestic and abroad.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you will join us on our journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it.
We're back and better than ever. I'm Tim.
And I'm Sarah.
Sarah, I am still recovering from the last episode that we recorded, the revenue and data management that we were talking about, the seminar that took place in Atlanta. But I'm hopeful people are still listening and not bored to tears after that. I was really struck, however, at that conference and at the VRMA Spring Forum, the Women's Conference, how many people come up to me and say they listen and they appreciate what we're doing. And I just wanted to say, as we start this podcast off, I don't say it enough. Sarah, you do a better job of this, of thanking our listeners. We really have a great group of people listening to us on a regular basis.
I want to say thank you as well. This is so fun for Tim and me most of the time, except when Tim's editing probably at 1 a.m. And we love the words of encouragement. So thank you. And we do also ask that you rate us on whatever podcast app you're listening on. So there's a place there to rate the podcast. Hopefully you rate it well. Mm-hmm. And that really helps get more visibility out there, Tim, so that more people know about the podcast and get these tips on running a vacation rental company.
That's right. If you like our episode, don't forget it's Sarah and T, the Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast. If you don't like the podcast, it's called Unlocked by Matt Landau. No, I'm just kidding, Matt. He has great reviews as well, but those reviews do help. And you know what else would help? If you tell your friends about the podcast. Our listenership has steadily increased, and it's really at levels I never thought we'd see. But everybody you tell helps us spread the word, and so we appreciate doing that. And you know, Sarah, one of the things we hear about very often from our audience is what we think about technology. As we're coming off the data and revenue management episode last time, where we really did a deep dive, this time I think it's appropriate for us to maybe talk about what other technology is out there and what people might take advantage of.
Yeah, we're getting risky. Revenue podcast followed by a tech episode. So stay with us, people. We have heard a lot that you want to hear about technology. And just to start out the gate, this is not going to be an episode where we sell out and endorse specific software and technology. So we're not doing that. But we do want to go a little deep today into how do you handle software and how do you evaluate it? And what's your approach to all the different technology options? If anybody's been to a conference, you walk into a giant room of a million vendors lately and just think, I don't even know where to start here. So software has its ups and downs, Tim, sometimes a lot of downs, but we're going to kind of go through a to-do list for you and your company of how to approach technology.
I love it. I don't know what your personal approach on this area is, but I typically gravitate to the newest thing, but then something inside of me pulls those reins back, and I do actually do a pretty good evaluation beforehand, which I think is really critical. I know we'll get into the details of that, but what's your instinct when you see something new and fresh?
Yeah, I'm definitely one of the early adopters, although I have stopped being the early adopter lately just because I've gotten burned. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've evaluated it beautifully. Sometimes I've jumped right in and regretted it a bit. And I feel like the software company has learned all the bugs from everything my team has discovered. Mm-hmm. So, Tim, the point of software or technology, whatever word you want to use there, really is to improve your business so that, you know, we have to be continually asking ourselves, is this technology I'm using going to improve my business? Is it improving my business? Instead of setting and forgetting it, kind of like the revenue podcast, the revenue topic, is we have to say, don't just buy something and pay $8 a month or whatever you're paying for it and set it and forget it. You really have to say, is this still relevant to my guests? Is it relevant to my customers? Is it relevant to my owners, my staff? Because staff have to interact with this technology day after day, Tim. You can see their face when there's a big bug, right, in one of the key technology pieces that you use. And it's a morale killer.
Right. And then the other thing that comes to mind as you're talking through that, Sarah, for you and me as principals in a company, when we stop at one of those booths and look at the shiny new toy, it's always the same pitch. This is only $10 per property. Oh my gosh, what a deal. But you can get $10 to death on this stuff. And before you know it, you're spending thousands of dollars on things that may not bring anything back to you, right?
Absolutely. So that's why we wanted to go through today, how to evaluate technology and kind of break it down for everybody and challenge everyone to say, what technology are you using? What are you not using you should evaluate possibly? And are you approaching it the right way? So let's get started on the first part of that, Tim. Before you start just signing up and doing demos, you have to say, what is the ROI of this piece of technology? And that means return on investment. Just because it looks cool, you shouldn't start paying $10 a property. So, you know, I think this process should start with and boil down to answering that one fundamental question. Does this technology increase my company's profitability? But that's not always easy. It's not always, you know, it's not very often, use XYZ software and you'll then make exactly $100,000 more next year. It's subtle, Tim, you know, and that leads us to the supportive questions you need to ask about a technology you're evaluating.
Yeah, like, how much time is it going to take to stay on top of this? There's these beautiful dashboards, but somebody's got to look at that dashboard every day, right? So do you have to add a new employee, for instance, to make it work?
A great example of this is keyless locks.
Mm-hmm.
I love our keyless locks. I'm not going to tell you don't get keyless locks, but you don't just go and get the keyless lock technology and all of a sudden all your properties have them and somebody is perfectly trained on how to manage them. It's complicated, right? And so you have to be ready to put the labor on that.
And then the setup, of course, as well. All this stuff takes planning. That's one of the things I want to get across to people, whether it be new software or, as you just said, locks, or maybe it's some kind of a CRM management. It takes some evaluation in advance. I think it is what you're getting to underlying here. You need to know what your needs are, and you need to plan in advance and do great research before you go forward. And part of that research is, okay, what is it going to take to run this particular aspect of my business?
And so as we love to do, Tim, we came up with five questions you should ask yourself as you evaluate technology. So the first one I'll start with, and that is, does it improve my employees' efficiency? So it doesn't have to. So if the answer is no here, we're not saying to not use this, but does it improve my employees' efficiency? That could be worth purchasing this and implementing it, but try to quantify something around the labor cost or the opportunity cost. An opportunity cost is, what can my employees do since they're not doing XYZ, since the software is making this so much better? So I'd say that's the first one. What's the second one?
Well, I could flip a coin to see who is more important, but you've got guests and you've got owners. You need to make sure you're looking at both of those. I'm going to go with guests. Does what you're doing increase the guest satisfaction in a meaningful way that might cause a repeat booking? Or in my case, we're diligent about net promoter score. Is this going to give me more positive reviews and a better net promoter score, which makes for better customers and more profitability? So the guest satisfaction, think of it from that perspective of a guest. How is this going to help them have a better experience with my company?
And that's a tough one. I mean, all these questions are tough because I might sit in a room and go, oh, Tim, guests are going to love this. It's going to make guests want to come back to us day after day. Mm-hmm. And you might say, no, it's not. you know? Yeah. So you really have to challenge yourself on that. The third question then, as Tim alluded to, is we need to ask, does this improve our owner's experience in a significant enough way that not just that they go, oh, that's cool, and then they move on, but would this be significant enough to cause them to stay with us versus leave? Or could this technology be the little carrot that you mentioned when you're trying to get an owner you want to join your program? Could that be why that's the one thing that they say, well, because they do that, I think I'm going to choose that company.
I think the next one relates back to our last episode in some ways, and that is, does this thing that I'm looking at directly or indirectly affect the number of bookings I'm going to have? Or maybe it provides higher rates, which would therefore mean more profit to the bottom line. It's going to help me be a better company if I implement this. Really hard to tell sometimes, isn't it?
It is so hard to know. And again, everyone has their opinions, but at least asking the question and debating it with your managers, with your leadership team, you could say, hey guys, seriously, are 3D tours going to improve the number of bookings? Mm-hmm. Will we be able to get higher occupancy or even higher rate because we have 3D tours? Or, and I'm not saying my opinion here, is that something someone clicks on and is like, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to book that other one that has the cuter living room that doesn't have any technology associated with it. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth question, I think, when you're evaluating technology is, what is the cost to implement? And I just encourage everybody not to gloss over this. What is it to maintain and train on this technology? Don't forget this vital question. I talked about keyless locks. I also would talk about any kind of software. I think, Tim, I don't know if you've ever been guilty of this, but I see the new shiny thing and I say, yes, we have to have that. And then we buy that. And then I turn it over to my team that's already overstressed, overworked, and say, okay, figure this out. We're going to do a demo. Okay, do you guys like it? Oh, awesome. All right, just enjoy that for the next 5 years. And I think it's going great, but I forget the day-to-day maybe workarounds they have to do with it, or the day-to-day new processes they have to take to incorporate that technology into what we do.
I just did this. I got a new shiny product at the VRMA Spring Forum. It's not gone well. And my staff pointed out, you know, we already have something in place that does this. And nobody has any additional time to implement this new thing you're talking about, Tim. So I'm doing it. You know, so talk about cost of implementation. I'm the one suffering on this, and I'm the one training, and I'm the one going, gosh, you know what? My staff's right. We do already have this in place, and I didn't need to do this. So I should have thought through a little quicker on that.
Oh, man. I wonder if they're listening right now all going, yeah, at least he knows what he did to us.
They know.
The other thing, not just sticking it to the team and they're being more tasked with handling it, but also I have been guilty of just signing up for that $9 a property thing and then 3 years later saying, oh, I forgot. I mean, I look at my budget, but is that really worth it? And because they want to get recurring revenue. Those technology companies, that their goal in life is a recurring revenue charge, right? They don't want to just charge you 10 grand and you walk out. They want to get you on that. It's just like any technology you use on your phone, an app, whatever. Right. Once you're paying $2 a month, you know, for some app on your phone, do you really notice?
Yeah.
And so be careful not to fall into that trap and reevaluate often. And I also, I mean, all the software companies listening are just going to cringe with me saying this. Every year we push for a better rate and push down to try to see if we can save a bit since we've been a loyal customer.
Why not? Because a lot of those companies are looking at other revenue streams. And so your relationship may be bringing them more than what they started with anyway. So good on you. As we talk about evaluating the technology itself, software comes to mind in this case. As you know, Sarah, I made a major change in software recently, we'll say. We evaluated that change 2 full years before we pulled the trigger on that. I was really proud of myself the way we as a team came together and talked it through and had every question we could think of for that person that we ultimately went with before we did it. And we already had kind of the end in mind when we started, and everyone was on board. And I think that is so important, no matter what, particularly with software. I was at a conference recently, obviously we just reported on it, and there were a number of people there complaining about their software and this isn't working and that isn't working. And when I started asking questions, that preparation piece I just talked about, it is really not in place with a lot of folks. They literally do not ask the questions they need to ask, and they do not do the prep they are supposed to do.
Yeah, and you know, something you just said really hit me, which was you got your staff involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the worst thing you can do as you grow a company is to just plop some technology on your staff, like I was talking about. Get them to evaluate it. Get them involved in the process. If they all say they want it, almost like they're convincing you to buy it, what a great position to be in if you agree you should have it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I want to say to everybody is, Tim, that's a little extreme on 2 years. So like, don't sit there listening to this right now and think, well, I don't have 2 years mm-hmm. to evaluate software. That's wonderful you did that. But if you don't have 2 years, the most important thing I think with evaluating technology is to sit down with your team and outline the problem you need to solve in detail, which I bet is what you did, Tim, mm-hmm. and create a specific document, a physical document, typing like a Word document,
yes,
of what do you need. So for something like a PMS, your main piece of software, of course this might be 20 pages. We need to be able to blah 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 blah, and oh, these are, we did the nice to haves and we did the absolutes when we looked at our PMS software. For keyless locks, it might be one page. I mean, you don't need to write a dissertation on why you need keyless locks. It's quite simple, right? But with all those things, I would challenge you to outline the problem you need to solve instead of seeing the shiny thing and then creating a problem you didn't even know you had. What do you think of that?
I think that's bang on. Again, back to the PMS thing, we did have a 2-year warning that the software was going to be sunsetted. So starting gun went off 2 years in advance, but we actually hired a consultant on that, and I'm not going to give the name here on the podcast, but if somebody wants to contact me, I will let you know that consultant worked us through a 300-question survey of my staff where we rated what was important, what was really important, and what was maybe not so important. So I had 10 people on my staff, and we rated everything on a scale of 1 to 10 in importance, and then we are able to rate one thing of 15. In other words, like if we don't have this, we can't move forward. It was an eye-opening experience, and it really created the teamwork. But again, back to your keyless locks might be another good example. So the harsh conditions in which you would work in. I have terrible salt air issues here. Everything corrodes within a year. I need to know, what are you going to do if this doesn't work? And then the connectivity issues. We're all in remote areas. Is the lock going to communicate properly? These kinds of things, you got to sit down and think it through and not just trust.
When I start with keyless locks, I tried one company and just figured, okay, everything they said is true and I'm sure this will work fine. Wrong. And it was on the wrong kind of wireless technology. It was through a modem and through the internet service of that property versus Verizon service. And we had to remove 35 locks 3 months after putting them on. Don't go through that. Ask the questions. And that kind of gets to the next part of evaluating the technology. Not only should you outline the problem and create this document and throw it at the sales rep, right? And get mm-hmm. them to say whether these are yes or no's, but talk to at least, I think, 3 customers on any significant technology you're going to purchase. And don't just write them an email. A lot of people will not be super honest in written communication mm-hmm. in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to them at a conference, call them on the phone, or better yet, if you can go meet them in person, what a gift that can be for some honest feedback. Have you done that, Tim? I'm sure you have.
I did it just recently, as a matter of fact, and you are absolutely right. Almost they lit up that they got a phone call asking their opinion about this particular product. And I felt like I got very honest feedback via telephone, whereas I got more milquetoast type answers in email. So you're absolutely spot on.
Oh, you know what else, Tim? Hmm. Don't ask the sales rep for three customers, because they will give you the three customers that love them. So try to find those customers on your own.
How about getting like a demo that you can play with beforehand? Did you do that with the locks, by the way?
The first time, no. Mm-hmm. And the second time, yes. So touching and feeling it 100%. And they often don't want to give demos, and they don't want you to hand it over to you. Mm-hmm. Like they don't, because they say, well, you're not trained. You won't know.
Right.
Push hard on that. There's software that they show you all the pretty part of it. And then once you sign on, you see the back end and you're like, oh, this is, it's going to take an hour to update one thing.
Yep. I did that recently in our, again, back to our last episode about the data and revenue management. One of those companies we were talking about that scrapes data, they gave me a 30-day free trial. I found all kinds of holes.
Yeah, and I don't want to scare the software companies listening. They're never going to give it to us now. They heard you say that.
That's really true. But on the software, they may not give you the software, but you may find somebody that's using the software, and you can go visit them for a few days and watch it in motion. There's other ways you can do it.
Tim, the fourth way of evaluating the technology, so you're outlining that problem you need to solve. You're talking to at least three customers. You're touching and feeling it. I really think you should spend an hour at least on smaller technology you're investing in, but probably a day in looking for a PMS. Mm-hmm. Evaluate the company. You know, with all the change that's going on right now, it feels like tomorrow we're going to get news that, you know, somebody else was acquired or somebody else bought somebody. So ask a lot of pointed questions about the company's health, the number of employees, what's their growth plan, what is their acquisition plan, how long have they been in business? Because like the worst thing is what, I mean, I don't want to be too specific, but like what V12 users are going through right now. Some people just signed on to V12 with HomeAway, and now they're hearing it's going to be discontinued.
Right.
Or somebody using a small piece of software, they find out, I feel like I'm ripping on HomeAway, but they find out maybe a big OTA just purchased that little piece of software. Now this nice company you were using that you thought was going to be no risk for data sharing and things, all of a sudden an OTA owns it. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, what do you do now? You just implemented it, right?
I think it's really ironic when you talk to many of these companies and you ask them how many clients they have, many of them are very evasive and they won't give you an answer. So I think all you need to do is turn the tables when you're pitching a potential owner to come into the company. What's one of the first things they ask you? How big are you? How many properties do you have? How many are you going to have? You have to answer those questions. Why don't they answer those questions? I think it's a fair question so you can get a feel yourself for how big they are and how big they want to be. Because let's face it, it does have a cause and effect with customer service. If you're going to go to 1,000 customers, you'd better be able to satisfy 1,000 customers from a customer service standpoint.
And people will start to talk. When you ask these questions over and over and ask pointed questions, usually the software company will tell you enough that you can see if there's any red flags and hold them to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they get purchased, say, you just told me 3 months ago you weren't going to sell.
Right. So
anyway,
so can we dive into some of these areas and maybe just give a quick hitters on what our thoughts are regarding some of this? We've talked about PMS all over the place. So that's probably the obvious one. That's the biggest one right now with the consolidation and the fragmentation going on at the same time in our industry. I think a lot of people are thinking about this. And my only thought about PMS is just don't jump in right away. Do your work in advance.
And learning a new PMS is no small task. Number two on our list, and this is in no specific order, is home automation and access. Do you need to worry about temperature control, light control, flood alerts, noise alerts? We talked about on a previous podcast that a lot of owners join your program and stay with you because of how you treat their property, not necessarily the exact rev par you give them. Mm-hmm. If you listen to their last episode, you might know what that means.
I butchered that.
And home automation access, that could be a pretty cool thing for you to look for floods and air conditioning not working, heating not working, but it also could be a real plus for your owners.
Yep, I am actually talking to a company actively now that offers some of these services. And one of the pitches from the salesperson I dealt with was, you have these other options available to you where an owner can control their thermostat and this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know that I could sell that. You know, if my owner wants to control the thermostat, they probably already are. And I don't like the fact the owner controls the thermostat, by the way. And another one was that you have on the list, noise alerts, or I heard you say noise alerts a bit ago. The first time I heard about that, I was like, I don't want to know about that. But then Virginia Beach just passed an ordinance where noise has to be monitored. And so, voila, here's a product that I can potentially sell my owners, get an ROI, and I've got another cool gadget. So home automation, some of it pie in the sky, others of it can be very helpful. Speaking of things that are helpful, how about website? That's got to be way up the list. There's a lot of competition out there for that right now as well. Who is going to control the website? Who is going to update the website? Do you have that kind of capability and skill on your staff that you want to do it? Or do you want to have somebody handle it all for you? And same goes for the SEO and the SEM. Are you going to do that in-house? Are you going to hire the website company to do that? Are you going to hire a third-party company to do that? And if you do hire that third-party company, do they have knowledge of the vacation rental industry? Do they have knowledge of your area? I didn't give you an answer to any of those questions. Those are all answers you have to determine. But the website, definitely another area of technology you need to think about very clearly.
Yeah. And Tim, that's really what a lot of people talk about is the key to booking direct, that you are coming up high on the search results. And so you've got to figure out the technology you're going to use to create the website, to maintain it. I mean, it's a big beast, baby. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number four on technology you really should review and decide if you need technology or you're using the right partner. And that would be if you need integration partners with OTAs. Funny, I just mentioned Book Direct. Now I'm on integrating with OTAs. Mm-hmm. But if you use OTAs, some software integrates directly with those OTA partners. Some require a third party, or I call it like the wholesaler or the middleman. I haven't had the most awesome experience with these companies, but if you need those, don't just go with the first one you see at a conference. This is where I would really talk to some other customers that are like you, figuring out which the right one to use.
Definitely check references and definitely check the bill every month, because I can tell you from experience, mm-hmm. I've had some not so awesome experiences as well when it comes to billing. Another one along that line is CRM. Lead management. There's a lot of options out there, but I would say you definitely need something to track your guests. Just kind of rewind the audio here about 60 seconds where we were talking about OTAs and third-party bookings. If you have a good CRM program, you may not need it. Remember our guest two episodes ago where he went from 100% dependence on OTAs to 0% dependence on OTAs? He did it through CRM and lead management. And I would throw in here as well, I don't know that we have this on the list, but texting is a new great thing in terms of keeping in touch with your guests. People like texts, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I can't really tell you how amazed I have been since we switched to a texting program with our guests. They are telling us so much more and good stuff, like telling us things that we can solve during their stay versus making them make a phone call. Who wants to make a phone call?
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, and the other thing on CRM, just to tell anybody that doesn't know, it's customer relationship management, lead management. That helps you respond to leads quicker. And then those are precious leads. And what are you doing with them? And are you efficiently figuring out how to reach out to those leads? So another area we identified is those website listing add-ons. So we talked about texting just now. There's also, do you want floor plans or the 3D plans I mentioned? Do you want a chat box on your website? It seems like all of those things are other companies you have to contract with right now and bring in to integrate with this other technology. It's just like, oh my gosh, how do we even find time for this, Tim? I don't know. But it really can add value to your guests, to your owners, or to your efficiency of your staff.
I have one that I think I was fairly unique to. I turned Sarah onto this recently as well. I have a fleet of vehicles, and I put vehicle trackers in the vehicles. It originally started as a help with our maintenance coordination group, where they literally could just look at a map and tell that Ernie was in this area, and we'll just call him and ask him to hit this house on the way back, and Joe is down in this area, so I'm not going to ask him to go over there because it's 20 miles out of his way. But it also had another aspect to it, and that is it alerted me when there was speeding violations, hard turns to the right or left, hard braking, or fast acceleration. And so we started getting these alerts. And now, in all honesty, I am looking at this as now a potential liability, to be very frank, because I'm getting these alerts on a daily basis. I have one particular driver. If we do not get one alert a day on him, it's like a day without sunshine. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, if he ever got in an accident, would I have some liability because I got these alerts? It's a tough one, and I'm really struggling with this right now, but I do have GPS tracking in my vehicles, and it is a deterrent for most, but in the case of this one driver, it has me concerned, and I'm addressing him in other ways. So I guess I will say that it is helpful because I wouldn't have known otherwise, but by the same token, there is now a electronic record of this person with violations, and what did I do about it?
Man, okay, Hamilton reference. What you don't know, now you know.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Careful on the liability of software, I guess. Mm-hmm. Another area, of course, is guest apps. And I don't know, some of big companies are listening, small companies are listening. Do you just send your guest an email with the access code and the directions? Or have you gone so far as to create an app that they download? I heard somebody recently, well, no, let's say 6 years ago, I heard someone say apps are going away. Then recently I heard somebody say, we only use 5 or 6 apps on our phone. And well, first of all, apps did not go away, person that told me that 6 years ago. But the comment of apps, we only use 5. Yeah, I get that. But I also do find that guests really are okay with downloading our app, maybe in a more techie place, you know, out west here. And it's so easy to click on something and get all the Wi-Fi and all the information there versus making a guest always go to their email. So look at guest apps, ask a lot of questions, and evaluate that if it's for ease of use for both staff to enter the information and guests to use it.
Yeah, the guest use part of it is really important for me because we have a software that offers a free guest app. I personally don't like the app at all. And so I've actually deleted it so that it can't come back because I just don't want people in there. It doesn't reflect the way I want my company to be reflected upon. So important stuff. Don't just go along to get along. But I know some people are very happy, especially the glad to have you. You hear a lot about that. There's guest stays. There's a number of them out there. But anyway, just make sure you look at it and it's representing your company the way you want. Another one, number 9, email marketing. You know, those templated type things where you can put in a bank of addresses and send out a blast. There's a lot of different ones. I'm not going to name any of them out there. Just make sure that it's doing what you want it to do. How much time is it taking? How much is it costing? And again, back to the ROI. What's it bringing back in? Are you tracking this stuff? And then you got the online survey stuff. I hope you all are doing some sort of an online survey. I hope you're keeping it short so you're getting good responsiveness. But what's it costing you to call that data? And are you getting enough data back that you can make good, healthy decisions?
Because hopefully you guys know you can tag your emails and look at it in Google Analytics and see how much money you made with every email. And then Tim called me out recently and said, oh, you're using that email mm-hmm. marketing platform? Mm-hmm. You should try this one. And, you know, I wasn't even thinking about evaluating another one because it's just what I know. So from time to time, look and see if there's better technology out there. Number 10 on our list of software areas is the last episode, so just go listen to that, revenue management and yielding. Do you need technology, or are you going to do it manually, or are you going to do a mix of both? So evaluate what you're doing around revenue management. Okay.
Next one I have as we're winding down here is time management, your staff time. Are you still doing paper time cards, folks? There is a lot better way to do it. Payroll systems in general, you can take care of your staffing hours electronically where they log in and they log out when they're taking a break. They can see how much time off they have. You can approve. You can go back the next day and go, wait a minute, you weren't here at this time. you took a break or whatever the case might be, as opposed to a piece of paper being handed in every 2 weeks and you forgot what a week ago Thursday was like. So make sure you're looking into those programs. They can help a lot.
Yeah, and some of those time management software programs, once the employee logs in, it logs where they are GPS-wise. So mm-hmm. you can see a record of everywhere they went. It's kind of cool. Number 12 on this list is credit card processing. One of the more boring topics ever, but you really have to look at who's processing your credit cards and push hard to get that rate down. As you grow your company, credit card fees can take over a big old line item on the budget.
Let me interject here as well. This was my latest change. Like, frankly, it was a fail. I switched just last week to a new credit card processor. 24 hours into the process, we switched back because we were not getting the documentation we were told we would get. We were actually not in compliance with North Carolina Real Estate Commission law. And this company had no idea that they had to do this, that, and the other. And this was after we did all the research. We checked the references. We checked references of people in North Carolina that are using this product. And I called one of the companies back. I said, what are you doing about real estate commission compliance? And they're like, oh, we never thought of that. Oh, my God. Anyway, they're going back and trying to fix it. But that was a real quick turnaround when we figured out that they were not giving us the documentation we needed that the real estate commission requires. Next one is maintenance and task management apps. There are some companies out there, Breezeway, that has really dived into this area head first. Jeremy Gall does a great job with that. But many of the software companies now have this kind of thing as well. If you don't have some sort of an app to take care of your guys in the field and you're still using the paperwork orders, gosh, look into this stuff. There's some really cool stuff that can help your efficiency. Again, you got to do that evaluation. We talked about it the first part of the podcast, but I think you'll find this kind of stuff can really help you.
And the last one we came up with on our list, and I bet we've forgotten a whole area. So let us know on Facebook when we post this episode and get some conversation going. And this is last but not least, as I want to make sure Dirk hears, would be housekeeping management apps and payroll tracking of housekeeping. That is hard to do, the whole housekeeping payroll, especially if you have housekeeping teams. As you start growing, you have to be really careful. Are you paying the right, if you're doing piece rate, are you paying the right piece rate to each team, and how are you splitting it?
Okay, so that's what we came up with. Now it's your turn. Hit us on Facebook or go through our website, send us an email. Let us know what we missed. Let us know what else you want to know about technology, and we will muddle our way through it just like we did this. So with that said, Sarah, it's time for Not So Hot Off the Press, but Definitely Happy. We are coming up on the fall very fast. Labor Day is upon us. It's time to think about education. There are a lot of conferences coming up in the next couple of months, so we wanted to just call your attention to a few so you can be thinking about this. If you haven't already registered, you may get on the short end of the stick, particularly where it comes to accommodation. What are you thinking about the fall here with education, Sarah?
We are thinking about this so much. I had a meeting with my general manager this week to go over who should be going to what, and we figured out what we're doing. I'm thinking about the vacation rental conferences. So there's a VRMA Connect in Colorado that's easy for us to drive over to. There's all these software, the PMSs all seem to have software summits and software conferences. And they've really turned into not so much about them, although of course there's sessions about software, but they've brought in a lot of good speakers that I've heard some of those are pretty good these days. And then, of course, VRMA, the international conference that Tim and I will definitely be at and doing a few sessions. And that is in New Orleans in October.
We are. We are going to do at least two sessions. We're going to do our standard one where we do a wrap-up on the very last session of the conference. And we're going to try to do that Facebook Live, by the way. For those of you who can't make it, you'll be able to get that session live on Facebook if you tune in on that. But we're also doing a panel discussion, which I'm really excited about, where we are matching up property managers and major players from OTAs. and try to learn from each other. We're going to hear some horror stories from both sides about bad data getting to the OTAs, which makes a problem. And we're going to hear about some horror stories from the property management end. So that's pretty exciting. And like you said, all the PMS ones are coming up as well. So we hope you have some opportunity to recharge your batteries if you're getting ready to go into your season like Sarah and be ready with the latest stuff, or you're kind of winding down if you're on the beach market and you need to be reminded why you're in this business. This is a good opportunity to go and break bread and rub elbows with some friendly competitors around the country.
And, you know, Tim, one thing I was going to say about conferences, don't always limit yourself to vacation rentals conferences. So one we love is the DeJulius conference. DeJulius has been on our show, and he has this customer service summit. I think he's now calling it the customer service revolution. It's in the exciting city of Cleveland, Ohio in September, but it just gets my team pumped, and it has nothing to do with vacation rentals. And then another one of my crew is interested in going to a hotel conference and finding out maybe what do they talk about there? Are they more advanced than us? Will there be something that sparks an idea at that conference? So look outside the box.
Absolutely. I have my favorite as well, the Inc. 5000 conference. There's maybe two other vacation rental management people there, but the brightest, sharpest entrepreneurs in the country there. So I always pick up something from a parallel analysis. So that's what's happening this week. Okay, Sarah, that does it for Not So Hot Off the Press. And so on a quick wrap, we can do a really quick wrap and boil this down to two things. We're talking about tech. First of all, you need to evaluate tech. You need to look at the big question, the ROI. What am I going to get out of this thing I am thinking about going into?
And then number two, you got to look at all the different areas. Challenge yourself, maybe have technology day, and write down all the areas we mentioned and more. Look at what you're using. Talk about, hey, is that one we need to reevaluate that we should keep using it? Is this an area we should look into what's provided here and bring something in? Do this for yourself. Make sure you're not running a kludgy operation that's inefficient, and make technology work for you to make some extra bank, right? It doesn't have to be torture. Technology can be fun.
Okay, friends, that'll do it for this episode, number 53, I think we're on now. And we have a couple of great interviews lined up here for the next couple of podcasts. So we'll get back to that and introduce you to some interesting people. We appreciate you kind of gutting it out with us through this technology episode and the one previous to that with the revenue management episode. And we are just very appreciative of you. And again, please go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to Google Play. Put a good rating on there for us. Tell your friends that you like the podcast and spread the word so we can have more folks out there getting the Kool-Aid, as we say. As usual, Sarah, great job. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Keep fighting the good fight, peeps. And peace out, Tim.
So long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast, brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, sarahandt.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sarah and T.